Good morning. Is that mic working better? Good. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Good morning. You guys awake? You warm? Maybe. All right. All right. Well, let's get comfortable. Let's get cozy and warm. We get to talk about God's word this morning. So it's going to be a great morning. I know God's word will bring warmth to your heart. So this will be good. This will be good. We're going to be in Psalm 103. And so you can go ahead and turn there. You can go ahead and turn there. A few weeks ago, this movie came on that I haven't seen in a long time. It came on YouTube TV, because who has cable nowadays, but came on YouTube TV, and it's a typical rom-com, right? Something traumatic happens that impacts this young couple's love for one another, right? But in the end, they end up getting married and, you know, falling in love, and all this drama happens. But the main characters of the movie are Lucy and Henry. Lucy was in a car accident that gave her amnesia. And from that point, she is not able to make any new memories, okay? Any new memories. Well, here comes Henry, right? He meets Lucy, and immediately, from the moment he sees her, he falls in love with her. Okay? He's like, man, that is the girl. But how does, here's the question for the movie, how does a relationship work when the person you love forgets you at the end of every day? Well, Henry, he's so deeply in love with Lucy that he pursues her over and over again, and he continues just to find new, fun, creative ways to meet her, to go on dates with her. And they end up going on 51st dates, right? Well, fast forward to the end of the movie, Henry, he succeeded. He succeeded. They get married, surprise, surprise, typical rom-com. But the way Lucy wakes up every morning is by watching a video that Henry has created for her just to catch her up on her life, right? What she has done, how her and Henry met, who are the people in her life ever since that accident? How does Henry love her? And she watches this video every single morning so that she is reminded of all that she has done and all that she has gone through, and all that Henry has done for her. And so Henry has Lucy remember all the benefits of her life every single morning. Well, this morning, we come to Psalm 103, and that's exactly what David does for us. Psalm 103 is going to do the same thing for us. It is the video that calls us to remember what God has done and to remember who he is, so that we'll bless his name, so that we'll rightly worship him. You see, all of us, we are all like Lucy. We are forgetful people. And it's daily that we forget what the Lord has done in each of our lives. And so it's my prayer that you leave here today with our souls just worshiping the Lord, because you are reminded of all that he's done for you and all of who he is. So let's do this. Let's read Psalm 103 together. I'm going to read all of it. So starting in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. He acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove your transgressions from us. As far as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting for those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his thrones in heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you humbled by your works, humbled by who you are. So Lord, I ask that you keep any distractions or thoughts that are not focused on you away from us this morning. Holy Spirit, help us cling to these truths, cling to your word, to the truths of what you've done and who you are. And Father, may these truths stir our souls to worship you with all that is within us. May we bless your name this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, let's jump in. Let's look at verse one. Look at verse one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So David starts off with a call to worship. He calls himself to worship. He tells his own soul to bless the Lord. And I believe David, writing this psalm, he starts with his own call to worship because he knows deep down his passions, his desires, his delights, they are all that are that is within him. They're not focused or centered on praise to the Lord. David is not giving the Lord what he deserves. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He knows that the Lord is holy. He knows that the Lord deserves all that is within him, his body, his heart, his emotions, his feelings, his appetites. And David, he calls himself to these things. He calls all these things to be given over to the Lord. And it makes me think of Isaiah 29 when the Lord says, these people, they honor me with his lips, but their heart is far from me. David knows that deep down there is something within him that is not blessing the Lord, and so he calls himself to worship. He calls himself to give honor and praise to the Lord because he knows he is holy and he deserves all that is within me. And so then David in verse 2, he repeats it a second time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David, he says to his soul, do not forget what the Lord has done. You see, David knows that he is forgetful. He knows that's why there's a part of him that is not focused or centered on worshiping the Lord, blessing the Lord, because he knows that he is forgetful. He has experienced it in his own life. With sin, with being king for God's people, yet at times walking in disobedience of God. He knows that he forgets the Lord at certain moments in his life. He knows his soul is forgetful of the Lord. The word forget here, it calls us back to Moses' warnings all throughout Deuteronomy. And even all throughout the Old Testament, right? But to God's people, Moses, he says, take care lest you forget the Lord and all that he has commanded. Why did Moses have to warn God's people to not forget? Because they proved themselves forgetful. That is what the Israelites are known for, forgetting the Lord. All throughout scripture, God's people, they forget the Lord. The Israelites are known for their forgetfulness. The Old Testament is filled with this. If you haven't read Exodus, then go read the stories of the Israelites walking with the Lord, and day after day, they forget the Lord's kindness and goodness to them. See, the Israelites, they experience Lord's benefits, but then they quickly forget them and they fall into sin. They fall into disobedience to God's commands. In Psalm 103, it has a connection here with Exodus chapters 32 through 34. In Exodus 32 through 34, as Moses was up on Mount Sinai to receive the tablets of stone, to receive the commands of the Lord, the Ten Commandments as well, he's up on the mountain, he's meeting in the presence of the Lord, and the Israelites are down at the bottom of the mountain, and they get tired waiting for Moses to come back down. Does anyone remember this story? Yeah, they get tired of waiting. They physically can look up and see the presence of the Lord dwelling on that mountain. And they're standing encamped at the bottom of the mountain and they forget the Lord. Instead of waiting and obeying, they forget. They go up to Aaron and they say, Moses has been gone for too long. Aaron, up, get up, go and make us gods who will come before us, who will lead us. And so Aaron, he collects all their gold and he throws it into a fire and then he takes the melted gold and he fashions a god. They fashion their own god. Oh, how quickly they forget. And they even call this god Yahweh. The one who saves. The one who is, who has created all things, but that's not the one true Yahweh. No, the Israelites, they created their own God, this one who has been created by their own hands, who cannot see, who cannot work, who cannot provide. And the Israelites, they carelessly forgot that God, he was present and active. That God is the one who has led them out of Egypt to the up to the very base of the mountain. It was him who has provided for them manna and water time and time again. Every step of the way. And the Israelites, they forgot and they disobey and they sin. And in their forgetfulness, they chase other gods. They chased idols. You see, they were distracted by their present needs. And in their distraction, they forgot what the Lord had done for them. And isn't that true for us today? Isn't that true for us today that we are so prone to forget? I mean, you think about it. We forget where our wallets are. We forget where our keys are. My wife forgets where her phone is all the time. We get it. We forget meetings or assignments. We forget birthday parties. We forget anniversaries. We forget what we sung about just a few moments ago. What was the very first song that we sang? What were the words that were coming out of your mouth? We are a forgetful people. But just like the Israelites, the most important person that we forget, that we often forget, is the Lord. We forget what he has done for us. And we forget his truths and his promises, and we forget his commands. And we do this carelessly because why? Because we're busy. Because we're distracted. We're caught up in our immediate needs. We're distracted by the present. We forget who the Lord is and what he's done for us. And then what do? We end up giving our souls over to other things. We allow our feelings, our emotions, our appetites to be driven by what the day brings. Or what might satisfy us in the very moment. And we forget the Lord. You see, you and I, we're just like Lucy. We forget daily. And so David here, he's playing back a video for us. And so I'm gonna press play. And my whole goal for the remainder of our time is that we just remember the Lord's benefits in our lives, that our souls would be called to bless his name. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What are the Lord's benefits? We're going to look at five of them this morning. And this is not a conclusive list, but it's a great start. It's a great start to remember. Verse 3. The Lord who forgives all your iniquity. Do not forget the Lord who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Benefit number one, forgiveness. Soul, don't forget that the Lord forgives all your iniquity. The first benefit David calls our souls to remember is not one that meets our present needs. It's not one that meets our present physical need, but it meets our deepest problem and our deepest longing that is deep down in our souls, that is deep down in our hearts, that we are wicked, that we are guilty, that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, that we are all dead in our sins, living in the passions of our flesh, chasing our own desires, walking in disobedience to God. And David, he says, remember, remember that the Lord, he forgives all your wickedness. That means you are no longer guilty, that you are no longer bound to sin. Remember what the Lord has done, that he has forgiven you. David is saying this as the Lord has provided for him as he's writing this and his people a sacrificial system. He is praising the Lord because the Lord has provided a way for the people's sins to be forgiven, right? It wasn't that their sins were just forgiven. The Lord didn't just say they were forgiven, but there is a cost to our sins. There is a cost to our disobedience to God, to our wickedness. See, when they disobey God, who is holy, the only way to be reconciled, made right back to God, was for that penalty to be paid. And so the Israelites, God's people, David, what did they have to do? They had to go to the temple and they had to go to a priest, and a priest would sacrifice an animal for their sins. You see, blood had to be spilt. A sacrifice provided. And in faith, David, he says, soul, don't forget the Lord's forgiveness. David's sin, he knows it is great and he trusts in God's forgiveness. And the thing is we don't live in a sacrificial system, right? We don't have to go to church and share our sin with the priest so the priest then will take an animal and spill blood for us so that we will be made right with God. We don't live in that system anymore. That sacrificial system was just temporary. And it foreshadowed a greater sacrifice that was to come. One sacrifice that would pay the penalty for all sins, for all times. Your sins and my sins. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is a great truth for you to remember. My sin is great, but God has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. For all my wickedness, for all my disobedience, to be forgiven. But it's gonna cost something. There's a penalty for our sins, and David is reminding us that the Lord has provided that sacrifice, and that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. That he came into this world, becoming one of us, taking on flesh, humbling himself, becoming one of us, and he obeyed all commands perfectly, all God's commands perfectly, living without sin, the spotless lamb. But he was killed. He was put on the cross by men. And on the cross, God placed on him all our sins. See, Jesus, he carried the weight of our sins. But not only that, God then placed on him his wrath. A penalty had to be paid, and Jesus paid it for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that Jesus was the sacrifice, that his blood was shed for you and I. And if you believe this, if you put your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's word says you are forgiven. You no longer have to live under that weight of guilt. That the sin that you committed this weekend, you can bring to Christ, and he looks at you and he says, it is gone. You are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, he casts your sin away from you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget we have forgiveness in Christ. But soul, bless the Lord because he also heals all your disease. Let's look at benefit number two, healing. Soul, remember that the Lord heals all your disease. What is David talking about? The Lord heals all my disease. I've known many people who have suffered because of disease. I know people in this room who are suffering because of disease. How does the Lord heal all our disease? Some here would say that this disease is only talking about your spiritual disease, not just a physical one. But I think David is saying here can address both our physical and our spiritual healing. So what did sin bring into this world? Sin brought death, right? And we're all cursed with this. We all carry the curse with this. We all carry death until when? Until what we just talked about, until we accept Christ's forgiveness. See, in forgiveness, by faith in Christ, the one who took our illness, who carries our disease, Christ, by his wounds, we are healed. In Christ, we have been given life and have been set free from this curse of death, that he is the only one who can remove that curse from us. But we also see that forgiveness is at times connected with physical healing. The story of the paralytic man in Mark 2. You remember this story? Four friends, they carry this man who cannot walk. They carry him up to Jesus and they can't get to Jesus. The room is crowded. Everyone's trying to hear what Jesus is saying. And so what do? They climb up to the roof. They start peeling back the roof. They lower this man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks up at his friends and he says, because of your faith, this man is forgiven. He says, forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven. But that doesn't make sense. That's not what this man has come for, right? He came to walk. So Jesus then said, take up your bed and walk. Jesus showing us his authority on earth, that he has power on earth over creation, but he also has authority in heaven to forgive sins. That he is God in the flesh. And so Jesus, he gives us a foretaste of what the kingdom of God is gonna be like. That one day all disease will be healed in the new heavens and new earth. When Jesus returns, when we stand in front of him, there will not be any more disease. We will be physically whole and physically healed. And David in this verse, he's not promising physical healing here. He's not promising that every believer here on earth is going to be healed. But sometimes this great physician, Jesus, he provides us with a foretaste of that day of when he returns. And sometimes he heals the sick. And sometimes he doesn't. And if anyone knows this more, it's going to be David. In his sin with Bathsheba, God granted him forgiveness. But in that same sin, David also asked for healing for his son. And did God grant him healing for his son? No, he did not. But David is saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He heals all your disease, because David knows that he has been healed from eternal death. And one day Christ will return and all who believe in him will be physically healed as we enter into eternal life. And so we ask for forgiveness. We ask for healing, and we bless his name when he grants them here and now. But do not forget to bless his name, because one day we will be wholly and completely healed. Verse 4, bless the Lord, O my soul, who redeems your life from the pit. Benefit number 3, redemption. David coming back again to the reality of our life in sin. In sin, we are in our graves. In sin, we are dead, right? The punishment for sin is death. In this pit, it gives us this idea of this place where we rot, where there's complete destruction. Jonah referred to the belly of the fish as a pit. As he ran away from God, he found himself in the pit, a place of destruction. And time again, David uses it throughout the Psalms to speak of a place where the wicked will die. And just as the Lord redeems Jonah from the pit as he called out to God, David, he knows the Lord redeems all those from death who call out to him, who cry out to him, who repent and ask for forgiveness. The Lord redeems from the pit. This is true. This is the same for us all today, that we have all been in the pit. We were all dead to our sins. And the Lord, he reached down and he pulled you out from destruction. He purchased your freedom. See, we have been redeemed to be resurrected with Christ, to get eternal life. Bless the Lord. And some in this room, we're still in the pit. Sin has overcome us. Darkness is all around us. And so let me encourage you just to cry out to God. Come into the light. Open your heart up to forgiveness, to his healing, to his redemption. Ephesians 2, it says, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we were down in the pit, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget that we have redemption in Christ. And in our forgiveness, in our healing, in our redemption, the Lord then crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Benefit number 4, you are crowned with steadfast love and mercy. Why do people get crowned? Why do people get crowned? Because they're becoming king, right? Because they're royalty. David is writing this. He understands this. He is a king. People get crowned because they are becoming royalty, showing that they now have power and authority. And it's usually because they're in a certain bloodline or in some way deserve it. Maybe because they did something great or mighty. But the one who has just redeemed us out of the pit, the Redeemer, in his loving kindness and mercy, he comes to us and he crowns us. He makes us a part of his family. Not because we deserve it, not because of anything that we have done, but solely because of his love and mercy. Solely because of Jesus. Because of Jesus's actions, because of his life, death, and resurrection, we are now adopted into this royal family of God. We are no longer a slave to sin. We are no longer a slave to death, but we are children of God. We are an heir to the kingdom. And that's your identity now. that Jesus, he pulls you out of the pit. He forgives your sin. He heals you and he crowns you and he says, you are a child of mine. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You crown us because of your steadfast love and mercy. Do not forget, in Christ we are redeemed and made part of God's family. And in all these things that the Lord does, we can find satisfaction in them. The last benefit, number 5, is that the Lord satisfies. He satisfies you with his goodness. The Lord satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. David, he wraps up these benefits of the Lord and he says, the Lord satisfies you with all his goodness. What is his goodness? His goodness is that he forgives. His goodness is his healing. It is his redemption. It is his act of making us one of his children. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If anything is going to renew me, it is these truths. It is what the Lord has done for me. It is what he has done for me in Christ. It is what Christ has done, that he has forgiven me. My strength is now renewed like an eagle. I'm free from sin. I'm free from death. I'm completely healed. I've been redeemed from the pit of darkness. I've been brought into the light. And even though I do not deserve it, I've been made an heir of righteousness. I've been made an heir to the kingdom of heaven. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He satisfies your deepest longing and desires. He meets your deepest need. And in what he's done for you, may that bring you strength daily. Remember, do not forget what the Lord has done for you. But why has he done all these things? Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Verse 17, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And David, he closes this psalm by calling all angels, all creatures, all powers, all persons, everything on heaven, everything in heaven, everything on earth will praise him. And will praise him as Revelation says, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name for all that he's done for us. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that we do not forget your benefits. Lord, I ask that we on a daily basis will, from this day forward, replay the tape every morning. Lord, we are like Lucy and we forget. Lord, but you understand us and you understand our weakness. And you have compassion on us. But Father, may we be encouraged and stirred up to press play every single morning to remember your benefits to us. The benefits that you have provided for us in Christ. That we are forgiven, that we are healed, that we are redeemed, that we have been crowned, that we can find satisfaction in you. Father, may your words and your scripture and these truths stir our hearts to worship you. Not just here singing this song when I'm done, but as we go. Lord, I ask that you just instill on everyone's hearts the benefits that you have provided for them. Don't let them walk out of here forgiving what you have done for them and why you have done it. Stir our hearts to worship. Lord, may we cry, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. Bless your holy name. And may we cry that daily. We love you and we praise you.